જય સીતાતે જય કરે
भगवान की सामवेद भक्त वृंदी जय ताय गौर प्रेमान दे और ग्लोरियस प्रसन्न लियोरिस और ग्लोरियस प्रसन्न लियोरिस और ग्लोरियस प्रसन्न लियोरिस और ग्लोरियस श्री गुरु एंड गौरव का और ग्लोरियस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद
की जय
नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामे नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 20, entitled The Structure of the Universe, text number 18. It's a prose-based verse. I will read the word to word meaning. Tata.
Tata.
So also.
So also.
Vritta Udak.
Vritta Udak.
From the ocean clarified Pata. Bahihi, outside, Kranchadvipaha, another island known as Kranchadvipa, Dvigunaha, twice as big, Sarmanena,
as the same measurement,
Kshiradena, by an ocean of milk, Paritaha, all around. Upakritaha sarangat
vritaha
sarangat
yatha
like kushadvipaha the island known as kushadvipa gridardena by emotional clarified para asmin in which krauncha nama Name Kramcha. Parvatarajaha.
Parvatarajaha.
A king of mountains.
A king of mountains.
Dvipanama.
Dvipanama.
The name of the island.
The name of the island.
Nirvartakaha.
Nirvartakaha.
Bringing about.
Bringing about.
Aste.
Aste.
Exist.
Exist.
Translation by Supreme Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Outside the ocean of clarified butter is another island known as Kamsadvipa, which has width of 1,600,000 yojanas, 12,800,000 miles, twice the width of the ocean of clarified butter. As Kushadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of clarified butter, Kamsadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of milk as broad as the island itself. On Kranchadvipa there is a great mountain known as Krauncha, from which the island takes its name. Text 19, translation. Although the vegetables living on the slopes of Mount Krauncha were attacked and devastated by the weapons of Kartikeya, the mountain has become fearless because it is always bathed on all sides by the ocean of milk and protected by Varuna Deva. Text 20, translation. The ruler of this island was another son of Maharaj Priyavrata. His name was Ghritaprastha and he was a very learned scholar. He also divided his own island among his seven sons. After dividing the island into seven parts, named according to the names of his sons, Kritaprastha Maharaj completely retired from family life and took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, the soul of all souls, who has all auspicious qualities. Atma Bhutasya, the soul of all souls, Hare Charanaravindam, Upajarama took shelter. Thus he attained perfection. Text 21, translation. The sons of Maharaj Kritaprastha were named Ama, Madhuruha, Mehaprastha, Sudhama, Virjadhishta, Lohitarna, and Vanaspati. In their island, there are seven mountains which indicate the boundaries of the seven tracts of land, and there are also seven rivers. The mountains are named Shukla, Vardhamana, Bhojana, Upabari, Upabarina, Nanda, Nandana, and Sarva, Sarvatobhudha. The rivers are named Abhaya, Amrutaga, Haryaka, Tirthavati, Rupavati, Pavitravati, and Shukla. Text 22. Translation and purport. The inhabitants of Kamsavipa were divided into four castes called the Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas, and Devakas. Using the waters of those sanctified rivers, they worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering a palm full of water at the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has a form of water. Vishwachakra Thakur says, Apo Maya Asmayam. With joint palms, the inhabitants of the various sections of Kamsavipa offer the sanctified waters of the rivers to a deity made of stone or iron. We will read text 23. The inhabitants of Kamsavipa worship with this mantra. O water of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you purify the three planetary systems known as Bhuloka, Bhuvaloka, and Swarloka. By your constitutional nature, you take away sins, and that is why we are touching you. Kindly continue to purify us. Purport. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.4, Bhumirako analopayuku kamamano buddhire vacha ahamkar itiyamme bhinna prakritirashtata. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. The energy of the Lord acts throughout the creation just as heat and light, the energies of the sun, act within the universe and make everything work. The specific rivers mentioned in the Shastras are also energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people who regularly bathe in them are purified. It can actually be seen that many people are cured of diseases simply by bathing in the Ganges. Similarly, the inhabitants of Kanchadvipa purify themselves by bathing in the rivers there. Umanyatamirandasya yanam janashalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam dadati svatadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yudhapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsa shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana lagnathambitam tamsajivam sadvaitam sagarutam karijana sakitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakhamritamsya he krishna karna sindhu dhinavando jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namasure tatra kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabham sute devi pranamami haripriye जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Even though we are restricted from traveling, Srimad Bhagavatam is fulfilling our desire to travel to different places, see mountains, rivers, bathe in them, get that illumination. This we are able to do by the mercy of the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada. The fact that we are able to understand the greatness of the Lord, which is very crucial for us to understand before going to the sweetness and the sweet pastime of the Lord. Studying the structure of this universe. Now this chapter has been described by various devotees who spoke before me. Jayanta has shown pictures. We are dealing with the Lakshadvipa, and the descriptions are of the tracts of land, the mountains that are separating them, what ocean, the type of the ingredients of the ocean all are being described. And today's section of verses, starting from text 18, moves from Kushadvipa to Kanchadvipa. The Dvipa got its name by the mountain Krancha. The only information that I got about this mountain and why it is being attacked by Kartikeya is based on a movie based on Kartikeya, his glories. It was taken in my mother tongue. I watched it when I was young. So that is, they might have based it from Shastras, I don't know. But the story is that the purpose of Kartikeya's, Lord Kartikeya's appearance is to be situated as the commander-in-chief and the chief of the army of the Devas, and then defeat the demon named Sura. So, while attacking the resident of Sura, at that time only Lord Kartikeya attacks this Kamsadipa. This is my limited understanding. Guha Rakrana, by weapons of Kartikeya, the son of Lord Shiva, Unmatita, shaken. Despite being attacked by the weapons of Kartikeya, the mountain is fearless because it's bathed on all sides by the ocean of milk and protected by Varuna Deva. So one energy of the Lord is attacking you, another energy of the Lord is protecting you. Because Krishna describes that Senanina Aham Skandara, that he is opulence as the commander-in-chief. That is Lord Kartikeya. The mountain is still protected by another potency of the Lord in form of ocean of milk protected by Varuna Deva. Now, we also hear about the glory of the son of Maharaj Priyavrata, Ghritaprastha Maharaj. We see the dealings of those glorious kings, how they are able to deal with the material nature according to the ashram that they are situated in. When they are situated in the ashram, they use the principle of renunciation by properly engaging the land, the wealth, the people they are commanding. They use all of that in the Lord's service. This is the proper renunciation as described by Rupa Goswami. Hari Sambandini Vastuna. They see that in connection with the Lord and use all of that in connection to the Lord in His service. And then, when time comes, they are able to hand over the responsibility to their sons, divide a tract of land, and move to the other side of the renunciation, which is fully focusing on the feet of the Lord. Hares Charanar Vindam took shelter. So, engaging in the Vanaprastha Ashram, how to deal with material nature, is to see that in connection with the Lord, renounce, but do that always in connection with the Lord. Now that you are out of the responsibilities, you take on the full responsibility of taking shelter of the Lord, who has all auspicious qualities, and thus he attained perfection. So this particular sequence gets repeated again and again, just so that we get the message about how to use the material nature in the Lord's service when you are in a particular ashram, and how to use the material nature when you move from one ashram to the other, and how to take full shelter of the Lord. Then we hear about the list of the names of Maharaj Ghritaprastha, the glorious sons of the glorious father. And we also hear about the seven rivers. The purifying effect of the rivers and their potency is being discussed. And the important aspect of satisfying the Lord just with a palm full of water offered with love and devotion, that is being stressed. in the 22nd verse, also talks about how the society is divided into four castes. The inhabitants of Kaunsubhika are divided into four castes called Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas and Devakas. The similar thing we can see in Bhagavad Gita as to how the Lord divides the human society based on Varna and Ashram. And here we see the inhabitants engaged in the worship of the Lord by offering a palm full of water and the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has a form of water. Yesterday, Govindeshwar spoke nicely about the demigod, how to properly worship the demigod, what is their position. If we see the demigods in connection with the Lord and worship them, to pacify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he brings about the concept of why this creation is there in the third chapter, why he does it, why he sends the rituals and the demigods, and what is the purpose of the creation. If we have that understanding and worship, not having separated vision, and separate the demigods from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship them, so that is separated vision, that's improper. Whereas the proper approach is to see the demigods as part and parcel, as the empowered administrators of the Lord, and worship them in that mood to please the Supreme Personality of God. Then that is proper worship. And that principle is being applied and practiced, the philosophy is put into practice by the inhabitants of Kaunsubhika, by taking one of the five separated energies of the Lord, which is water, and offering it with love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. We get additional details from the Acharya's purports that the inhabitants of various sections of Kaunsubhika offer the sanctified waters of the rivers to a deity made of stone or iron. Then, when there is a deity, then there is offering and there is also mantras. That's how we see the whole sequence. Even in the previous chapter, for that matter, even from starting from 17th chapter, end, we see Lord Shiva worshipping, and then there is a mantra, and then there is an offering, like that. So here, the mantra is given, Apaha Purusha Vidyasta Punanti Bhur Bhuvas Suvaha Thanaha Punithamiva Vrihi Sparshatam Atmana Bhuva Viti. So in this particular verse, 23, the potency of the rivers and seeing the rivers also in connection with the Supreme Lord. The rivers have obtained their energy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what we saw in the descent of Mother Ganges, how the whole pastime was described. Mother Ganges emanating from the feet of the Lord, she is able to purify the three worlds. So the rivers, they purify the three planetary systems, Bhuloka, Govaloka and Swaloka. And by your constitutional nature, so the rivers by nature, because they are pure, they are able to take away the sins. And this is why we are offering our respects to you. Kindly continue to purify us. One of the striking points that came out when reading this particular section is that how the Lord is pleased just by offering a handful of water. And this is being described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. where Gautamiya Tantra is being quoted. Tulasi Dala Matrena Jalasya Churukena Va Vikirnite Swam Atmana Bhaktebhyo Bhakta Vatsala. Churukena by a palm food. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee. Sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulasi leaf and a palm full of water. That's the nature of the Lord. How he is Bhaktebhyo Bhakta Vatsala. He is very affectionate towards his devotees and he sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. That water again being an energy of the Lord, as described in the 7th and the 9th chapters of the Gita, if you offer that separated energy of me to me with love and devotion, then I will accept. In the Gopa, Srila Prabhupada talks about the various energies of the Lord. The recent discussion on the Gita chapters, how the Lord is taking care of the living entities at the very personal level and also at the macro level. The theme gets discussed in the 15th chapter as to how the Lord is a maintainer at the macro level, the cosmic level, by providing sunlight, moonlight, fire, and all the elements that Prabhupada is quoting Bhagavad Gita from. The potency, all that Krishna established, that he is the essence of all of that. The sun and moon are his eyes, the smell of the earth is him, Punyo Gandha. And in that section, Prabhupada explains as to how the rising of the sun and the sunlight makes a person be aware of the time factor, and then based on that, work happens. You begin work at a particular time, you reach a peak of work, and then you finish work. All that is driven by the sun. When you come home and you want to relax, then there is moonlight. And while you are working, Prabhupada explains, you deal with fire in the form of machinery. Everything is powered by electricity, which is formed from fire. And in this way, your work life, your recreation, all that is being supported by the Lord. And Krishna does explain that one who is able to balance his eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material miseries. He, through his energies, he is governing it, he is assisting, and he is also elevating you. If you think about these elements in your day-to-day life, when you connect them back to the Lord, he elevates you also. Another aspect of the Lord's mercy is being discussed as to how the moonlight not only gives cooling rays and facilitates recreation, but it also nourishes the vegetables. And then these vegetables will taste nice if you have the appetite in your stomach. And that fire is also the Lord, Pacham Anna Chaturvedam. So this way, the Lord is helping the living entity through his energies at the cosmic level and also at the personal level. So in that section, 7.9, Prabhupada writes, everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance, as the flavor and fragrance of a flower, or in the earth, in water, in fire, in air, etc. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor which permeates everything, is Krishna. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor which permeates everything is Krishna. Similarly, everything has an original taste, and this taste can be changed by the mixture of chemicals. So everything original has some smell, some fragrance and some taste. So this way the Lord is making us aware of His potencies, and how if we become aware of His potencies when we are using, we become Krishna conscious. That's how Prabhupada writes. In Krishna consciousness, we become aware that earth, water, fire, air and every active particle, all chemicals, all material elements are due to Krishna. So, if we are able to see that connection, we are able to see Krishna consciousness, we are able to perceive presence of Krishna in every sphere of our life. So that's how Prabhupada summarizes that purport of 7.9, where the theme of elongating one's life and improving health. So that's being touched upon here as well. By bathing in the waters of the rivers, one can get out of various diseases. This is being explained with reference to Mother Ganges, and how in India a lot of them bathe in the waters of Mother Ganges and get out of the diseases. When describing the universal form of the Lord, the rivers are considered to be the nerves of the universal form. And that's why when you bathe in water, your nervous system becomes strong. So running water, running river, if you bathe, your nervous system becomes stronger, and therefore your diseases become cured. The purifying potency of Mother Ganges, Prabhupada explains in the 5th canto, 17th chapter, 9th verse. For those who bathe in the Ganges at any time, the results of great sacrifices like Ashwamedha and Rajasuya Yajna are not at all difficult to achieve. So just by bathing in Ganges, you get physical benefits and spiritual benefits also. You get the results of performing Ashwamedha and Rajasuya sacrifice. Next, I wanted to discuss about the purifying aspect of the Lord and His energies, His holy name, and also through the scriptures. We saw about the purifying aspect of the rivers. Now we will see about the purifying aspect of the Lord Himself, where He describes that of all the purifiers, I am the wind, in describing His opulence. Another way the Lord purifies is by giving knowledge, and this knowledge is figuratively described as fire, as the fire of knowledge. 4.37, Krishna described that as a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions of material activities. So by giving knowledge and by encouraging us, by inspiring us, Krishna is purifying by removing all the sins. Even a sinful person can purify himself if he situates himself in the boat of knowledge. And it is described as Suddham, pure, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Kapila also, when describing the meditation sequence of the yogi is supposed to meditate on the feet of the Lord. The feet of the Lord can drive away the darkness in the heart, hriday andhakaram. Sanchintaye bhagavatas charanaravindam, वज्रांगुसध्वज सरोरुह लाञ्छनार्थं उत्तुंग रक्तवेलसं नखचक्रबालां ज्योष्णादिविभागतं महत् हृदयन्धकारम्। One has to meditate on the feet of the Lord, Sanchiptaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam. That feet is decorated with various weapons, Vajra, Angusa, and all that smash the mountain of sins and purifies. Then it removes the andhakaram, the ignorance which is clouding the heart, Hridaya andhakaram. So this way, the Lord's feet also purifies. Purification also happens in Kali Yuga for the living entities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Mahaprabhu himself has sung this, Cheto Darpana Majana. Purifying aspect, the potency of the holy name, for one who chants without the offenses, purifies the polluted consciousness. Cheta, the polluted consciousness gets purified of unwanted things. Anarthas get removed. And pure desires, spiritual desires become fulfilled. In this way, holy name also purifies. Having discussed the purifying potency of the Lord, His feet and the holy name, we will move on to the potency of His leelas, His descriptions through the Shastras, especially Bhagavad Gita, through the Gita Mahatmya. And interestingly, in the Gita Mahatmya we also have a comparison of Gita compared to a milk. Just as Kamsa Dvipa is protected by the ocean of milk because it's always bathed in the ocean of milk, even though attacked by the weapons of Kartikeya, similarly, even though we are attacked by the eternal enemies of the living entity, if one is able to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita, one will definitely be protected. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopal Nandana Parto Vatsaha Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamrutam. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all Upanishads, is just like a cow, and Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. So if one does that, one becomes purified. Another Mahatmya of the Gita, which is compared, Gita is compared to Ganges, and it is said that by bathing the Ganges many times, one will get purified. But if one bathes in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, then the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Malabhirmochanam punsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitamrutasnanam samsara mala nashanam. So this Gita Mahatmya is by Sripad Adi Shankaracharya. Prabhupada quotes it in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as to how the purifying potency of the words emanating from the mouth of the Lord is being glorified, and is compared to milk Next we will look at the purifying aspects of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian messages of Lord Krishna. So, nectarian message. But it is drunk through the ears. The message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, what it does? It purifies the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment. And thus the devotees go back to Godhead to the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. Vibhantiye Bhagavat Atmana Satam Katamritam Shravan Puteshu Sangritam Punantite Vishaya Vidushitashayam Vrajanti Tat Charana Saroru Hantikam. So Vibhanti is drinking. And that's the effect of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam through oral reception. It purifies us. Through the ears, it enters the heart. What does it do in the heart? Is the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association such as lust, anger and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Again, what the message of Bhagavatam does after entering the heart is being described. It removes the dust of the lust, anger and hankering, establishes one in loving relationship. Pravishta karana tandrena swana bhava sarvarupam dunoti shamalam krishna sarilasya pita sharat. So by entering, if you give oral reception, enters and purifies. If this is the case, why is it that even after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for many years, as His Holiness Bhakti Vijnan Maharaj describes, why is it that devotees are not getting purified? And why is it that they are not getting ecstasy? And why is it that they are not, tears are not coming from their eyes and they are not rolling in the ground? Why? And that we will focus on. Why the change of the heart is not happening even after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for many years? So this is based on Maharaj's seminar. And another devotee has written a blog about the seminar. So I will be discussing points from that. So in the seminar, Maharaj is quoting this famous Bhagavatam verse, Srimbatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantastohi Abhadrani Vidupnoti Shurutsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, Super Soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So Maharaj is asking us to focus on the purport of this particular verse 1-17, and he zooms into one particular word in the purport and then explains why the purification is not happening. Prabhupada writes in 1-7, messages of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna are not different from Him. Whenever therefore offenses, hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. So we will just read through this purport quickly, but if one reads through it word by word, as Maharaj encourages, he zooms into this. Whenever therefore offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, then you can expect the results. Which means, while hearing Bhagavatam and while glorifying also, you must be offenseless. Then, the Hridayam Dasto Abhadrani, all that purifying aspect which we heard about, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the effect it produces, that will happen only if we hear offenselessly.
So what
now, what is the next aspect? What is this proper mode of hearing? Now, Maharaj explains that there are four conditions how to hear properly. The first condition is one must have a strong faith in the words of Guru. This means that you have complete trust and surrender to the words of Guru. When hearing the words of Guru, when hearing Shastra from Guru, you will have this surrender attitude and you must take the words to your heart and you must apply in your life. What goes through your ears should transform the heart, should inspire your brain, and the action should happen through your hands, in the proper hands and legs, through the proper direction. So, this is the first proper attitude. Surrender, complete faith, and applying, taking it to heart and applying. The second is Dhainya Bhava. The mood of I am so fallen and I desperately need to hear this. The opposite is, I have heard this many times. Daily we chant. Daily we go and hear what? Same. Tell me something new. Or we may think, I can speak better than the speaker. So if we go in for to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with this attitude, transformation of heart will not happen. So the mood of humility must be maintained, that desperate, as Krishna describes, one who has developed that urge to hear without thinking that I know this or I can speak better than the person who is telling the message, that has to be removed and one has to maintain Dhainya Bhava. The third aspect of proper hearing is one has to overcome the defects or faults of his mind. How does Krishna describe? Chanchalam hi maha Krishna. So to become fixed in hearing, Maharaj uses the story of Sripad Madhvacharya. In Madhvacharya's ashram, there used to be a bull. As you know, bulls and cows eat grass and then they start chewing slowly, take it out there. The whole process. They eat quickly, then bring it out, and then they start chewing. Now the speciality of this bull is that as soon as Madhvacharya, Sripad Madhvacharya starts to speak, this bull, which is by nature, chews the food that it has eaten, it will stop chewing and it will start to hear. Which means, Maharaj explains that our mind should stop chewing whatever is going on, being restless, moving from one thing to the other thing to the other. In the Bhagavatam class, when it is happening, stop that and just hear. Now, to complete the story, that bull took birth as another acharya, as Jayatirtha, learned Vaishnava, then he wrote commentaries on Sripad Madhvacharya's teachings. So the action point model says that one has to train the mind to stop the chewing and hear attentively. The next aspect is one has to hear and concentrate using one's intelligence, and also use the intelligence to apply what he has heard. With the intention to absorb and apply in one's life, that's how the intelligence has to be engaged. The next aspect is one has to remove any motivations while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. There could be various motivations for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The modes also play a part when hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So one has to be careful and remove those motivations. So what are the motivations? There are three Maharaj lists. One is Vishaya. Typical symptom of this is I hear with an expectation that the speaker will entertain me. He will have some light stories, nice entertainment, he will crack jokes, otherwise I am bored. So going with this expectations and going to particular speaker and hear only particular lectures with this motivation, thinking that I will be entertained, the speaker will entertain me, that is a motivation that must be removed. Second motivation is motivation to get name and fame. With the mentality of hearing it so that I can repeat in my next class, and by repeating it I will become a famous preacher. If you are hearing only with that attitude, then that motivation also has to be removed. The correct thing is, how do I apply in my life at this point? The third motivation which needs to be removed is Aishwarya. Maharaj explains this comes from the root word Ishvara, Aishwarya, Ishvara, which means power, the controlling potency, the nature. Very closely connected to Yasha is that you hear the motivation that I will repeat, and by repeating I will influence people and I will exercise my control over them, and through that try to gain power and opulence. So these three has to be motivations that will be given up, and then the humble attitude, the eagerness, the faith, the mood of uninterrupted, unmotivated hearing, and the mood to purify and change my heart. I desperately need to hear this, even though I've heard it many times. Why is this particular verse, the section, is coming to my life in this time to me? Then the transformation of the heart will happen. So Maharaj ends that seminar with the story of Dundukadi, about how desperate he was that he was held in that horrible condition of life, how desperately he heard Bhagavatam and how he went to a glorious destination. So if we incorporate these qualities when we are hearing, then the purification will happen. Removing the motivations and maintaining a proper attitude while hearing. Having understood the potency of the purifying aspect of the Lord, His lotus feet, His holy name, the scriptures, and having understood the proper attitude of hearing and how it helps us in our devotion, we are inspired to practice bhakti, we are inspired to hear nicely. Now the physical aspect of us, which is comprised of the earth, water, fire, air and ether, that also has to be maintained in a proper healthy state. As His Holiness Satyananda Maharaj says, it has to be aligned properly, body, mind and heart, so that you get the effect of the purification. What I want to touch upon is the characteristics of the five elements with which the body is made up of, and how we can tap into the energy of the Lord by which our gross and subtle body is made up of, and strengthen that to practice bhakti in an unmotivated and uninterrupted way. The interruption is from the body platform because of the imbalance of the bodily elements. One must also address that. Again quoting Satyananda Maharaj, if one neglects to take care of the bodily needs in the name of just focusing on spiritual growth, his animal-like desires might also come up. And Maharaj quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one has to balance his work, recreation and all that, as Krishna described in the Gita, eating, sleeping, recreation and work. For that we need to understand how the elements within our body work. It is described in the Ayurveda. We can make endeavors to understand our body type and what combination of food to eat, drink at a particular time, place, so that it does not interrupt our bhakti. Quoting my own examples, I didn't know what proper food combination is healthy, what is causing disease. I was eating a particular combination of food which makes me unhealthy, which means I have to run to the toilet. Again, the whole sequence, you need to take bath, the whole time is wasted, but just by knowing what combination of the food to eat and how to tune the body, just the simple aspect of using the potency of the prana that we inhale and doing that, how to purify the impurities, gross and subtle. So once we are able to understand that and also focus on that, because the aspect of curing of diseases is being discussed, one point of bathing the water in the rivers, by that we can purify ourselves and get out of disease. Second is by understanding our own bodily constitution, comes from sattva, transforms into rajoguna, then air appears, then fire from rajoguna. So when we read that, we also have to apply that these elements are outside me and inside me. How do I balance them in such a way that I am out of disease, and the time that I save in wasting in disease and all that, I can engage in bhakti. Now these five elements are also connected to various emotions and your mentality, your well-being, your vitality. I will quickly touch upon those components whereby we can check or we can do a scan of ourselves. Starting with the earth element, it actually Krishna described punya bandha, that stability, that I am safe and secure, I am protected. I am protected by Krishna, because when that base stability is not there, which happens at the time of crisis, that you are shaken, you don't know what you want to do, whether you have to move to a different place or not, especially in this time of crisis, the earth element as the energy of the Lord gives you that stability. And one can say to himself as affirmations that I am safe because I am protected by the Lord. I am secure because I am protected by the Lord. And this stability, safety and trust helps in a person to be grounded and also helps one in healing oneself. Each one is connected to the different energy and different energy centers. I don't want to go into the names and complicate, but just wanted to touch upon the nature and the affirmations that we can say to ourselves. So we looked at earth element. Then the water element is related to fluidity, the quenching of thirst, and then the aspect of movement, the satisfaction, the feelings part of us. And this also deals with the creativity, the creative energy of male and female. That manifests in the form of producing children and also in the form of creating, and the creative aspect that is facilitated by water. So this creativity also deals with connecting to the sacred aspect of the Lord. As we say that the sexuality is sacred. So one has to understand and apply that part. So the creativity is there, but it has to be considered as sacred. It has to be used in Lord's service. Next, we have the element of fire. So this element of fire deals with emotions like self-confidence, respect for oneself, respect for others, responsibility for making decisions, and the feeling that I am a worthy person and this spiritual side of it, when I went through the affirmations, what struck me is, I am a spiritual warrior. That fighting nature against the odds that come to us internally or externally, that motivation, confidence, based on the fact that we are grounded, we are protected, and we are surrounded by devotees, by shastras, guru, still one has to do his work. Which means, I am a spiritual warrior. That fire has to be there. So fire is what transforms from one state to the other, liquid to gas, like that. So if we want transformation, that fire has to be there, but it has to be in the proper direction. So that's why we can say that I am a spiritual warrior. I respect myself, I respect others, and I set healthy boundaries. So this is to do with the fire aspect. Next, with the element of air. The element of air is comes to emotions like love and hatred. The negative side could be feeling lonely, not able to forgive others, but when it is used properly, it can generate hope and trust and focus more on the unconditional love, which is the key aspect of bhakti. So you are open to receive love and give love. You are open to receive love from Guru and Krishna, and we are able to show love to Guru, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So if you are not internally blocked from receiving love, so then the air element helps on that. So this is how we can, even though the mercy is given to us, we are not able to appreciate it. So then we must work on ourselves and we must remove those blocks so that we can perceive love, and that is aided by the air element, where we can say to ourselves that I am totally open to and giving and receiving love. In our case, from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And I trust and I choose love over fear. So in this way, the affirmations help us to take the right direction. Now, the element of sound is where you speak. So, speaking also means you speak the truth, which in our case it comes from the Shastra, it comes from the Guru, and you also live by that. The second aspect of the sound is you are willing to hear spiritual sound. That's what we heard about, the proper attitude of hearing. And being able to accept the truth, if something harsh is being said about us, this internal introspection is sometimes might be hard for us to do. That absolute truth, you are able to speak, and you are able to hear, and you are able to digest it. So that's the sound aspect. And most importantly, you don't interrupt someone else speaking. If you constantly have words to interrupt others, so then the air and the sound aspect has to be worked on. You're not able to hear the criticism, the constructive criticism that you get from others about you, or you're not able to hear about your shortcomings, whether it's told by Guru or the Shastras, and you interrupt. So that one has to curb, and that's how the sound element, which is the ether aspect, helps. The light aspect helps us to to see Tattva Darshana through the Shastra Chakshus, Chakshudan Dilojay. This is how the light through which you see, in our case it's through the Shastra Chakshus. And this also has the potency of thinking and then the connectivity to the Supreme Absolute. Sometimes you feel disconnected, you have these resources around you, you have devotees, sometimes you feel that disconnection and in the presence of all of them, but I am not able to connect. So one has to overcome those blockages by being willing to connect to the Divine through His instructions, through the spiritual masters. So from us, from our side, we are removing the block and allowing the message to come to us and be as an instrument through which the potency flows through you by removing all these blocks, the potency of the Lord. So that's how you can act as an instrument, nimitta matram. So thus we saw the potency of the rivers, the potency of the holy name, the scriptures, the proper attitude of hearing. The key aspects are being strong faith, being in a humble mood, curbing the restless mind, using the intelligence to think about applying it, removing the three motivations, Aishwarya, then Yasha and Vishaya. Then we are inspired to hear. Now how do we work on ourselves with the aid of these five elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, and allow ourselves to be an instrument. In this way we take shelter of the Daivi Prakriti of the Lord, and we take shelter of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, Sri Sri Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra and Sri Sri Govardhana. So I conclude here and see if there are any questions, corrections.
This Prabhu, you mentioned about even though we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, why we are not getting purified, still so much of jada. Of course, these three points you mentioned definitely are important. Then I feel apart from those, maybe the layers of anartha became there in our heart, so strong, so thick, that even though this is falling, the effect is not happening. So, just like a mirror when we have some dust and accumulated for several years, it becomes so strong. Yeah. If you try to remove, mirror may break.
Yeah, so that's why if you have that strong faith, that by consistently applying the potency of the holy name, the scriptures, when heard, by removing all those motivations, you put your faith on those holy sources, that their potency is more than your anarthas. So we don't have to become anartha conscious, we have to become anartha cautious and Krishna conscious. So focus on that aspect of the potency of the Lord and His purifying abilities through various channels. And be hopeful. So that's why Bhagavatam is described Utsahana Seya Daya. So the consistent application from our side and patiently wait. So patience doesn't mean that you don't put efforts and without putting any efforts and waiting, that is the mode of ignorance. But having put the efforts, then waiting, that is the mode of ignorance. So consistent application, maintaining that having hope against hope, and determined and enthusiastic. So, and these points which Maharaj mentioned about removing those motivations, it's an eye-opener for me. So, thank you very much. Nandarashima Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.